married with two grown-up children, but for many years he's been with actually YFC, and then he has spent many years also with a radio Bible class, of which he's still very much involved in. But today he's the pastor of Emmaus Evangelical Free Church, and he's going to bring us God's message this morning from Psalm 100. Topic will be, who are we? Is that a question? Probably not. We are.
Well, for the next 30 or 40 minutes, depending on whether you are listening or not, I do edit my message, and when people are falling asleep, I'll just shut up. We'll look at Psalms 100. Do you have your Bibles with you? And do most of you use NIV? Am I still right that most of you use NIV? Let's do a survey. NIVs. Yeah, there you are. Most of you use NIV. Of course, I think some of the newer ones you use ESV. Is there some ESV users here? Ah, there's a few of them. You are getting into it. ESV is slowly replacing NIV. And are you, some of you, still on King James? Anyone still on King James? That kind of dates you, you know. You belong to my generation, but unfortunately, some of you look so young to belong to my generation. I'm a King Jamer. I memorize all my verses in King James and still quote them in King James. Cannot change. Huh? Any one of you use NASB? Yes, there's one or two of you here. These are the people who are very concerned about, you know, the proper translation of the Bible. That's good. That's very good. But for the sake of those of us, the majority who uses NIV, can we all read together? Okay, if you have an ESV, if you have an NASB, you have other version, just come along with us. Okay, let's read these five verses together. And let's not read it quickly, but let's read it slowly and kind of look at every word, because today we will look at this whole Psalms. And I hope by the end of this Psalms, you will have a better, of this time, you have a better understanding of this Psalms. Okay, shall we do it? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. He is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. I think we must make it a practice to read God's word, because there's something beautiful about reading God's word. You know, you read with your eyes and with your mind. Sometimes you don't see certain truth in God's word. So the reading of God's word actually is in the Bible. In 2 Timothy, I believe, when we must read the Bible. Years ago, when hitchhiking was safe, today hitchhiking is no more safe, right? Any of you have done hitchhiking in your life? Yeah, there are some of us who have kind of done it. I have done it. When hitchhiking was safe, a story was told of a hitchhiker trying to get a ride one night in Los Angeles, of all the places. Finally, because it's at night, a car pulled over to pick him up. When the hitchhiker got into the car, he was surprised. He recognized the driver. It was Kirk Douglas. He was so shocked that such a famous movie star would pick him up, until he blurted out and said, "Do you know who you are?" When the Israelites were in the wilderness, God said to them, "When you come into the promised land and settle down in your warm houses and have plenty to eat," that would probably be applicable to us Singaporeans, when you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. Soon after, the people forget who God is, and as such, they forget who they are. Are we not like the Israelites, prone to forget? That's why when you look at verse 3 of Psalms 100, it says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. Therefore, we are His, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Only when we know who God is, will we know who we are. And then only can we shout for joy to the Lord, worship the Lord with gladness, and give thanks to Him and praise His name. Some had cleverly said, in my days, I do not know about these days, sorry, a lot of my illustration belongs to my days. You know, I tell jokes to the young people in the church that I'm helping, and they all look at me. Where did he come from? So in my days, there was this very clever statement that said, next to godliness is cleanliness. Remember? Some of you don't want to remember, because the very moment you nod your head, I know how old you are. But we know that it ought not be. In actuality, next to godliness is thankfulness. So why are many of God's people not thankful? And we wonder even more as to why when we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. Remember this verse that we memorized? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Many people want to know what is God's will for their life. Often I will quote this verse. God's will for your life is to be thankful. So why are God's people not thankful? Perhaps because we are behaving more like citizens of Singapore, always complaining. Shouldn't we be citizens of heaven? Always thankful. Yes, if God is our Lord, we will be thankful. That is why when you look at Psalms 100, the word Lord appears, how many times? It appears 4 times. The psalmist is saying to us, if God is Lord, we will not see ourselves in any disadvantaged position. If God is Lord, it matters not who is against us, for He is with us. So the question we must ask ourselves is, who owns us? And who are we living our lives for? Who owns us? Who are we living our lives for? For us, even for children, they must not think that they are owned by their parents. Parents, don't think that you know what is best for your children, because you don't own them. You are entrusted with them for a while, for a season. Who owns us? Who are we living our lives for? Well, again, in Psalms 100 and verse 3, we read explicitly that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people. the sheep of his pasture. Because of who we are, God's people, we obey the four commands in this Psalms. Look at them. Verse 1, we are told to shout. Verse 2, we are told to worship. Verse 3, we are told to know. Verse 4, we are told to enter. Shout, worship, know, enter. Now let's look at each of these commands. Let's start from the reverse to the front, okay? Let's start with the verse 4 where we are told to enter. In the Old Testament, entering his gates and his courts symbolizes entering into God's presence. When the people of Israel enters the temple, they know that they are going into the presence of God. Today, this temple no longer exists. So how are we to enter his gates and his courts when this temple no longer exists? And we know why it doesn't exist. Because of the finished work of Christ Jesus on the cross. When you and I accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we submit our lives to him, he is our Lord. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Now you know why the temple don't exist. Because don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit lives in you? That is why we can personalize this Psalms that of David. In Psalms 139, verse 7 to 10, we read, and you know these verses. Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. So for this command to enter his gates and his courts, we understand that we are always in God's presence. That's why, in whatever circumstances, we can still be thankful. In Corrie ten Boom's autobiography, The Hiding Place, she tells of a time of her and her sister Betsy in the Nazi concentration camp, where they were forced to take off all their clothes. I don't know about you, but there's only two ladies that have seen me naked in my whole life. My mother and my wife. I'm so sorry, there was one more. When I had my operation about 4 years ago, on the second day, this young petite nurse, younger than my daughter, came to my bedside and says, "You have to bathe." How did she know? I think she smells it. And so I said, "Okay, give me the towel and I'll bathe." She said, "No, I have to bathe for you." Now that's an experience. Mentally, it was difficult and emotionally shocking. And so I went to the toilet and took off all my clothes, and she was behind me. And I closed my eyes, believing if I don't see, she didn't see. Can you imagine, as ladies, you are to take off all your clothes during the Nazi inspection at the concentration camp? It not only defiles you, it makes you totally forsaken. Feeling defiled and forsaken, Corey suddenly remembered that the soldiers also took Jesus' clothes. Struck with worship, Corey whispered to her sister, "They also took Jesus' clothes." That's it, said, "Oh, Corey, I never thank him for that." Remembering who God is and what he had done for us helps us to be thankful even in our prolonged darkest hour. Now let's look at a command in verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. This we must obey. Knowing God is a lifetime experience, and it stretches into eternity. That is why heaven will never be boring. Some people say, what do we do in heaven? Sit on clouds and play harp. Boring. No. Knowing God will be for our lifetime, and it stretches into eternity. For our God is immeasurable and vast beyond our understanding. That's why we start our relationship with God with the discipline of reading and studying the Bible. That's why we faithfully want to be taught God's word. That's why we go to church not to be entertained, but to be taught God's word. If we want to have more spectators, what do? We entertain. True? But if we want to have more disciples of Christ, what do? We teach God's word. Why do we need to know God's word? For only His word can change lives. This is the amazing quality of the Bible. No other book can produce such results. When we meditate on God's word, it starts to change our thinking. And when our thinking changes, it affects our emotions. And when our emotions are stabilized, we understand better. And when we understand better, we have the courage to live life realistically. And we are able to see through the confusion of this world. We are able to realize there is hope even in times of hopelessness. And we learn to avoid the things that destroys our lives. And we obey Him, and we start to live our life with meaning and purpose, doing what is holy and pleasing to our Heavenly Father. That's why we need to know that the Lord is God. And the only way to know it is through God's revealed truth. Now let's move on to another command in verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness. Sadly, many Christians think that worship is done only when they go to church. That is why I will tell the members of EMEA's church where I'm helping, when your neighbors ask you on Sunday morning, "Where are you going?" Don't say, "I'm going to church." Say, that you are gathering with God's people, for when God's people gather, church happens. For the church is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of his church. So when God's people are in one place here, church happens. And when you all depart from this place returns to be a place. No church anymore. Because church is when God's people gather. And worship is something that is not done only when we are together, for we are to worship Him individually, and not only done when we sing songs. That's why it's a disadvantage to identify that the person who leads us in singing is the worship leader. I'm so sorry, I may have touched on the very sore area, but you know, I had to go to EMEA's EFC and tell them, don't call them worship leader anymore. I know it's the popular term. I know it came from USA. And I also know that not everything good comes from USA. Call them Sunday service leader. Yes, it is true that we do worship God with songs of praise. And that's why in verse 2 we read to come before him with joyful songs. Yes, but to call the person who stands here as a worship leader constrict, limits, narrow our understanding of what worship is. You see, verbos can help or it can constrict. Let me illustrate. Once I was preaching in a local church in Hong Kong. By the way, I don't tell people that this is my church. I'm so sorry. That is also another popular verbos. This is my church. I cannot say it because this is not my church. It is Christ's church. So I can only say this is my local church. This is the church of Christ that meets in this locality. Once I was preaching in a local church in Hong Kong, midway through the songs and praise time with songs, the youth pastor told me, after our worship, it is your turn to speak. As politely as I know how, I replied, are we not worshiping God when His word is taught? You see how? By calling the one who stands here leading us in song as the worship leader, we have begin to constrict our idea. And so I asked him, are we not worshiping God when His word is taught? Didn't we read in Romans chapter 12 verse 1? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You see this word here? Worship. This word worship literally means worth it. Whatever we do that is holy and pleasing to God, and we do it because God is worth it, we are worshiping. This means that loving our wives in obedience to the Lord, we are worshiping God. So husbands, go home and worship God by loving your wives. Submitting to your husband in obedience to the Lord, we are worshipping God. Obeying His command to be hospitable, we are worshipping God. Sometimes I ask people, can you have an empty room in your house? Can we put someone to stay in your house and the answer comes back, my house is not tidy enough. They are essentially saying my house is not ready, when actually their hearts are not ready. When you are hospitable, you are worshipping God. And I have to tell people, look here, they didn't come to inspect your house. Well, I just need a bed. Knowing God through the studying of His Word, we are worshipping God. Doing good to others, to those in the household of faith, we are worshipping God. Caring for our aged parents, we are worshipping God. And the list goes on and on and on. And perhaps for parents' sake, I will add one more. Study in school is also to worship God. Everything that you do excellently, because God is worth it. Everything that is holy and pleasing to God is worship. That is why those of you with other versions like NASB and ESV and KJV, this word is not worship, right? It's the word serve the Lord with gladness. Because worshiping God is serving God, because He is worth it. And when we do so, we experience that the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. Now finally, lastly, let us look at this command in verse 1. Shout for joy to the Lord. Now all of us know that shouting can be both positive and negative, right? And some people speak as if they are shouting, right? If you have been to some parts of China, not all parts of China, and you are in a waiting room with some Chinese people from some part of China, they may be sitting to next other, they'll say, hey! Right? Some of them, they cannot. They are shouting always. We have to understand that because they do stay in those villages years ago when your neighbor is about 100 meters away. You know what I mean? And so they don't have telecoms. They don't have all those modern devices. And so when they come out of the house and they want to speak to their neighbor, Ah, Xiong Ah! Right? That's what they do. And they just got this into their habit. So we know that shouting can be positive and negative. And I'm not just talking about being cultural. You know, the more cultured you are, the softer you speak, right? I'm talking about some kind of negative shouting that you and I do participate in. Amy McCready, the founder of Positive Parenting Solution, has this to say. Listen. I have worked with thousands of parents, and I can tell you without question that screaming is the new spanking. Screaming is the new spanking. Parents resort to reminding, nagging, time out, count 1, 2, 3, and quickly realize that those strategies don't work to change behavior. In the absence of tools that really work, they feel frustrated, angry, and they raise their voice. And then afterward, they feel guilty, and the whole cycle begins again. I wonder whether any parents here have this experience, where speaking to our children is no longer sufficient, they're not listening, and all the things we try to do don't work. And so we shout. Notice also between husband and wife, some are replacing speaking with shouting. Yes, When we go older, we tend to be hard of hearing, right? And that happens with me and my wife. So we agree and we decide that in spite of our hearing deficiency, what we will do is to repeat ourselves and not develop the habit of shouting at each other. I don't know whether it's applicable or not. Some of you just don't want to shake the head. Here in Psalms 100 and verse 1, shouting is positive. It is the result of knowing who God is, and so we joyfully shout. I know that this church and perhaps the church I'm in, we belong to the quiet, enthusiastic Christian, right? We demonstrate our enthusiasm with quietness. The more enthusiastic we are quieter, right? So we belong to the quiet, enthusiastic Christians. You know what I mean? Raising hand, putting legs out, and so forth. Not so good. Not polite. We just quietly. But I think there are times when we could say amen. Can we not? When you are praying with each other and you hear something that is truthful and is applicable and is exactly what is needed, can we not at least release a small amen? Ah, that's good. Yeah, we can shout with joy because of who God is. We can shout. We can be enthusiastic. But then, what about those painful times? What about those painful times? Can we shout still for joy to the Lord? I think so. Let me tell you how I do it. You see, when I go through very difficult times, whether it is because of myself or because I see other people go through very difficult times. Sometimes, you know, as I help certain young people, I wish life is simpler. But sadly, life is not simple. Life is very complicated. And it's very complicated because we are so distracted. That's all. Actually, life is rather simple. Know who God is. You know who you are. You live your life with purpose and meaning. That's the formula. But, you know, we get so distracted with so many ideas and so many things thrown before us that life becomes very complicated. And then not only becomes very complicated, we get into trouble. Because we run after those things. We get anxious. We get insecure, we get frustrated, and we want to be popular, and we want to get rich quickly. And so we run after things and we do certain things that do nothing but destroy us. So as I go through those painful times of my own pain, and as I see other people go through pain, what do I do? Well, I've learned this. Firstly, thank God for memorizing our verses. If you have not memorized verse, sorry, you don't have this too. But I thank God that early in my Christian life, I memorized one verse in Job 1:21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked return I feeder, the Lord giver, the Lord taker, blessed be his name. Right? The King James Version is very nice, isn't it? Giver, taker. It's just kind of very nice, no? Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked written I thither. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be his name. Right? See? Blessed be his name. Not the fun. Give. No. Giveth. Wow, you know? Taketh. Blessed be his name. Whatever it is, it's okay. The Lord give, the Lord take, it is well in my soul. If the memorization of this verse is not enough, I will sing my favorite hymn. You know what's my favorite hymn? In times of pain, it is well it is well with my soul. Right? You see? We do have this song. And if this hymn is not enough, I will return to a song that I learned in my youth years. You may know it or you may not know it. If you don't know it, it is because you are still young. I sing this song to myself. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures up above, somewhere beyond the blue. Not here, lah. Somewhere there. And if that is not enough, I will then turn to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17 to 18, and read these verses. Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there's no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will be joyful in God my Savior. Yes. We can shout for joy to the Lord in every circumstances. Please notice, it is not shout of joy. It is shout for joy to the Lord. If you look at yourself, what is there to be happy about? Amen? Have you looked in the mirror this morning? If you just focus on yourself, what joy can there be in life? And that's the reason why many people are so unhappy, because their focus has turned inwards. And all they get after a while is an ingrown toenail. You know what the ingrown toenail does? Any of you have got that wonderful experience when your toenail decided to grow inward and not outward? Same. If you look at yourself, if it's all about me, and sadly speaking, we are living in a world where it's promoting that it's all about you, right? Be very careful. We are living in a world that says it's all about you. That's why it's all about you. So you give me the money for me. You give me your money to me. See, it's all about you. See, I'm gonna give you something. So you firstly give me your money. It's all about you, right? We are living in a world like that. That's why I always tell people, vanity is the best business. Right? If you can give people something that their ego wants, my goodness, big business. We are living in a world where it is all about us. It's me, I, and myself. That's the new Trinity. Well, if we can look outward, shout for joy to the Lord. If our focus is on the Lord, we can shout for joy. It is the affirmation of it is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Well, the longer we live in this world, the more we know that we have less reason to be happy. So these days, when my friend asks me, Albert, how are you? I will say, I am very good. Any better, I will be in heaven. Understanding who God is. That's why J. Hudson Taylor, founder of China Inland Mission, today OMF, has this to shout for. And I quote, "It makes no matter where he placed me or how. That is rather for him to consider than me. For the easiest positions, he must give me grace. And in the most difficult, his grace is sufficient. So if God placed me in great perplexity, must he not give me much guidance? In positions of great difficulty, much grace. In circumstances of great pressure and trials, much strength. As to work, mine was never so plentiful, so responsible, so difficult. But the weight and the strain are all gone. His resources are mine, for he is mine. Who is God to you and me? Is he your Lord? If he is your Lord, then you will understand that it is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pastures. Knowing who God is helps us know who we are. Knowing who we are, we learn to know God better. And not only do we know him better, we worship him, we serve him with gladness. And not only that, we shout with joy to him because of his goodness, his love, his faithfulness to us through all generations. So let us read Psalms 100 together again, shall we? And this time, look at those words again and read these verses together, believing it, knowing it, wanting to apply it in our life. Let's read it together. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. And all the people says, Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that again today we are reminded of who you are. You are our Lord God. And because of who you are and because of your grace and your mercy, you have given us the privilege to be yours. You own us. Now, today, Lord, we live our lives to you. And in living the Christian life, help us to keep on knowing you more and more so that we know how to worship and serve you. And as we worship and we serve you, we will experience the joy of yours. And so that we can shout for joy to the Lord. For we see always his goodness, his mercy, and his faithfulness to us now and through all generations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.